Hey, I'm Sarah Bivens.
And I'm Matthew Bivens.
And this is the Doing It at Home podcast, the only podcast dedicated to empowering, loving, and honest conversations around home birth. What started as a fun way for us to document our own home birth journey has turned into a platform for sharing birth stories, resources, and education with the goal of empowering mamas and families to make the birth decisions that work best for them.
Plus, we get into the antics, breakdowns, and breakthroughs of our own experience of marriage and parenthood.
All right. You ready, babe?
Yep. Let's do it, mama.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Doing It at Home podcast. I'm Sarah Bivens, and with me here is my husband, Matthew C. Bivens.
What's up, mama? Hi.
That was a weird face you were giving me. Hang on, let me like move myself a little bit so I can see you better.
Yeah, because right now you're looking at the computer.
No, I'm not looking at you. Okay, this helps. It helps to look at you when I'm talking a bit to you, with you, about you.
At me.
Yeah, at you. Let me talk at you for a minute. I like when people say that. Like, I'm just going to talk at you. I'm like, cool. Ooh, this is a new setup for us. This is really cool. We haven't recorded like this.
Yeah, we are in our new office, which is previously our den.
Funny, we would still record in here though. Just in different configuration and sitting differently and all that stuff. But now it's officially our office. So we kind of did some feng shui action on the Bivens household recently. And
I don't want to say it's feng shui because we didn't do any feng shui.
Sorry. Okay. Absolutely not in any form of the formalized practice of feng shui. I guess
we move stuff around.
Some people will interchange that with just like moving things around, but you're right. I shouldn't.
But I'm just trying to be respectful for folks who.
Absolutely, because your sister is a practitioner of feng shui, so I am not accurate in my statement. Mea culpa.
Yeah, so we're in a new space, which is dope. We've got a couple desks, and we can actually like sit comfortably, be a little bit more relaxed. Yeah. Normally, when we record, we would sit on the floor.
Yeah, your back starts to hurt after a while doing that.
But now I got my feet up on the desk and
chilling.
Yeah, so it's cool. I'm excited about this episode too.
Yeah, we're going to get into some cool things. And I see us doing this more on the show. So what we're going to do for you listener who's like, what you going to do? We're going to talk about some listener emails, which we get a lot of really awesome listener emails all the time. But then some who, you know, open up a potential topic or who ask questions, you know, we can dive into and put some meat on that and really get into a cool conversation. So you guys are the inspiration for 90% plus, I would say, of our topics, whether through the emails that we get and it sparks an idea for us, or you directly send a suggestion or a question. So this is to you right now. If you have thought about something you would like us to talk about on the show, does not have to be 100% birth related at all.
Because I mean, as we're nearing year two of being parents, like more of the stuff that happens in our lives is around raising a child.
Right.
And, you know, obviously this podcast is about birth and the birth journey. But like, you know, we're expanding in our experiences and we want to bring that stuff. We've already started.
So it's like doing it at home as a, you know, lifestyle, as a concept. It's like all the things that we're still continuing to do at home, like raise our kid and teach her where and where not to do her business and how we function as a unit and all that great stuff. So just putting it out there, it of course could be birth related too, about our experience or anyone else's that we could learn from or talk to. Send us your questions. Send us your comments. Here's a challenge for you right now to send us two right now, today, in this next week. If something comes up for you, jot it down on your phone and then hit us up later. Two questions and or topics. And you can send those to hello@diahpodcast.com, or you can reach out. There's a contact us form on our website, diahpodcast.com.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you can do that. But so we're going to get into some cool listener emails that I'm sure we'll have some side roads we'll go down and what we always do.
Yeah, I'm always excited because I don't know which emails we're addressing today.
Right. So I select them. I have pre-screen them and then I present them to you and I'm like, what you think? And I put you on the spot.
I love it.
Yeah. Cool. Anything else before we dive in?
I'm hungry.
Okay. I'm sure everyone needed to know that.
That's my truth. My truth right now. I don't know. It's been a little while for us. So we took the month of July off from doing interviews.
Interviews, correct.
And we were like, we're going to use that time to get ahead on our you know, solo shows. But the past two Mondays, we've done other stuff. At least one of those Mondays was full of potty training.
Yes.
Goodness. So we haven't sat down and actually recorded like this in a while. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward. I'm excited about this.
Yeah. And then we had guests. We had company staying with us over the weekend, which is interesting. And I'm sure there are so many people right now like, you're still potty training and you had people staying in your house, which... Yeah, I mean, it worked out fine. There were actually no issues at all, but I'm sure we've broken all kinds of traditional rules in that sense or what people would expect. But
shoot, that's what we do.
Yeah, but we managed through that. Not even managed. It was great. It was fine. But yeah, now is kind of like catching back up with stuff and getting back into our flow and all that greatness.
Is that a thing, though, like to not have other stuff going on when you're potty training?
All I thought of in my mind was like, my mother, you know, everyone has that kind of like internal voice of like going back to how you used to think about things or whatever. And so when I thought about us having guests in our home and like potty training still wasn't like quite figured out yet, my mom would be like, oh my God, like, why would you have people in your house? And like,
well, what school me on the thinking behind that? Is it just because we're kind of concentrated on potty training and then hosting?
So maybe it breaks the focus a little bit. Maybe it's also like not super appropriate to like have people in your space who don't really have context for what you're doing. Cause it wasn't just like, it wasn't parents or anyone else that we had come stay. It was like my friend and her husband who don't have kids yet. So like, you know, maybe just kind of a jarring sort of immersion into like, this is what life with a 2-year-old is like. Like, I don't know. I guess just a swirl of things that like, that's the focus, like you only focus on the potty training for right now, and also like maybe just not the best time to have people come and stay at your house, which I would agree, like depending on who it was, I'd be like, maybe this isn't the best time, like while Maya's still running around the house naked and figuring things out. But it was
yeah what's so interesting about so many parent things, right? Like you want to set up the ideal scenario for every parenting situation. And this even applies to like birthing stuff. But then at the same time, you also want to live
your life.
You want to live your life, right? Like
I just want to be.
Yeah, like you want to be able to, you know, go through whatever milestone transition period that you as a couple are going through or you as parents are going through, and then be able to entertain guests and go out and do things. And so I think you and I have had this interesting mashup where this has certainly been my philosophy. Maybe I've sort of pulled you along where it's like, okay, we're going to do everything. We're going to do them both. And it's like, but no, we're just going to do them both.
I think we balance each other. And I think we serve an important and unique role when it comes to things like that. Like, I think there have definitely been times when your approach of more like, no, Maya will be fine, and like either rub some dirt in it or like it'll just unfold the way that's going to unfold. Like, that helps me a lot to keep me out of my, oh, it has to look this way and it has to be this way, and like type A and, you know, a little bit of OCD tendency and like need to control. So like that helps balance me. And then I think there are times where I'm like, maybe we should instill a little bit of order and like structure or, you know, strategy into what we're doing here. And then you're like, oh yeah, I see that. And it helps when if we didn't, it would have been like a total shit show. So does that make any sense?
Yeah, no, okay. It does.
Because okay. I wasn't sure what your face was doing.
I was scratching myself with the potty training stuff. You read the book, mm-hmm. and then you shared with me the plan.
Yeah.
And, you know, if the potty training was totally left up to me, I absolutely would have done some research. But my research would have not been as thorough as yours.
Right.
And I would have said, oh, okay, I kind of get it. Let's just roll with this and see what happens. And that's, you know, so I do think it's a beautiful blend of both styles. And then when you need to be a little bit more kind of flexible with stuff, we'll lean my way. And when we want to be a little bit more like organized and planned out, we lean your way. And then it's just a whole, it's like a big old gumbo pot of life. We just kind of throw it all in there.
The gumbo pot of life.
Yeah.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Cool.
All right. Well, that was a great episode.
It was. Okay. We're done here. I'm sure that resonated, though, with some people in terms of, you know, we've talked about doing an episode or two hovering around, you know, parenting styles and how you kind of make that work. You know, if like I tend to do things one way, that's such an interesting and yet beautiful challenge and opportunity I think parenting offers you, because it's like, it's one thing to manage yourself as an individual. There's that and like what works for you. And then, hey, you agree to do this thing called life with another person and you somehow like forge your own sense of balance amongst the two of you. And now there's a new human that you are 100% responsible between the two of you. So now how do you make that work? Because, you know, the child isn't going to be 100%, you know, personality of one or the other. Anyway, it's like, all right, how do we make this? It's like a business, you know, and all of that. Like, how do we divvy up, you know, not just responsibilities, but our methodology and our approach to things and our philosophy on things, and how, you know, what kind of person do we want to raise?
We actually got into a conversation like this a few nights ago. It wasn't an argument. It was more of a conversation. Remember we talked about the divvying up of like roles, and I said that, you know, you have your role and there's certain expectations that I have of you within your role, and I have my role and there's certain expectations you have of me within my role. And if we don't communicate about what we're both wanting or expecting, then it's easy to be like, you never help me out. Like, right. I'm always doing X you never come in. And you know, I think it was sparked off by the potty training experience, which we're going to talk about in further detail in future episodes.
Yeah, when we have a little bit more
experience.
Yeah.
We'll talk about
and feedback.
Yeah, we'll talk about all of that. But, you know, this conversation we got into was sparked off by that. And so it was interesting because we did get into the roles, and I shared, maybe I hadn't shared this with you before, but I shared with you what my expectations were regarding the role that you've chosen for yourself in the relationship and as a parent, and then what my expectations were for my role. That's kind of an interesting thing, because I feel like we have those underlying expectations, and then we know very clearly when those expectations aren't met.
Yeah.
And so we then tend to react or treat our spouse or partner in a certain way because they didn't meet up to expectations, when they may not be aware of them, right? Like, you maybe didn't know what I was expecting.
Yep.
And in your mind, I'm not living up to my role. And in my mind, you aren't fully living into your role. And so that was really interesting. And so I don't know how we got off on this tangent, but, you know, that whole communication aspect is so big. And then obviously when you throw in, you know, one child in the mix or multiple children, it's like, tighten your communication game up.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's always work to be done there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mic drop.
Yes. Boom. Went the dynamite. Awesome. Well, I'm sure we'll have some more conversations about that, or if, you know, what anything that we just talked about, if that sparked off anything for you, or you have any thoughts or ideas and all of that, love to hear it. So let us know.
Cool. Let's jump into these emails.
Let's do it. So I'll call it 2.5 emails, because
you got a halfy.
Yeah, because it's technically 2 emails with 1 listener, but it was like she gave me a little bit, and then I asked her to expand a little bit more if she was open to that on her experience, and she did. So there's that, and then that. So kind of 2.5 emails, but 2 people. Got it. Got it. Okay. First one comes to us from Jess. And this is her first email to us. She says, "Hey, Sarah and Matthew, I just wanted to reach out and thank you for your podcast. My first pregnancy ended with an early cesarean delivery, 34 weeks, 5 days, after having planned to have a home birth. When I got pregnant with my second, I was terrified. I didn't know what to do. I still wanted a home birth, but didn't know if it was safe. I found your podcast and listened to it all. The support and compassion you and your guests have for home birth was truly inspiring. Hearing the stories of others' experiences was the most helpful thing for me, and I'm so thankful you are doing this podcast. It is so important. I'm so happy to share that I got my home V back 8 weeks ago. It was incredible, intense, and more amazing than I can believe. And she said, thank you for all that you do. So of course I was like, Jess, you're amazing. I need to know more. And so then she elaborated a little bit, and I'll share that here.
So is that the halfie?
That's kind of the halfie.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah.
Now that we're clear on that. She says, it took me until about 23 weeks to finally settle on having a home birth. I went down a more traditional route and used a midwife at a local hospital, at which I felt I had the highest likelihood of having a successful VBAC. I got an ultrasound, I saw the high-risk doctor, and I got vaginal ultrasounds that she suggested. But the further along I got and the more visits I made to the hospital, the more I just felt like it was all wrong for us. During the first ultrasound, the maternal fetal medicine doctor pointed out that there was a bright spot, in quotations, in the baby's heart, which is correlated with Down syndrome. It was stressful, and after doing my own research, the correlation is so small and most will disappear before the third trimester. I was frustrated, tired, and angry that pregnant women get so much stressful information during pregnancy. Mm. And that was pretty much it for me. We went through and did the cervical checks to check for thinning, which indicates preterm labor, waited for the results from the blood check to see the probability of Downs, and then I fully switched over to home birth and didn't look back. The whole time I had the support of the midwives I had planned to use with my first. They were there as a resource and were supportive no matter my decisions. They have been amazing, and when I called to tell them I decided on a home birth, one said, you've come back home. And the meaning was so literal, but the figurative meaning was also so strong in that moment. I also spent a lot of time on Facebook in groups supporting VBACs, RCS. I'm not quite clear on what that is, but RCS, home birth, et cetera. I'll confirm that, what that is. Maybe it was what she alluded to previously.
Cool.
Anyway, trying to absorb other people's experiences as well. Everything was helpful, just absorbing as much as possible. Indie Birth, Birthful, Dr. Berlin's Informed Pregnancy were other podcasts that I appreciated as well. Yes, you can oh, then she's just saying how I can share her story. Because I was like, can we talk about this on the show? And she's like, yeah, absolutely. So she hopes that it'll encourage someone else. And that's what I hear. So that's the end of that. That's the end of the email exchange. Just to make my point on that last part, so many women, when they're coming on the show, you know, as guests, or when they're emailing us, just thanking us for the show, you know, feel this, not like a responsibility in the sense that it's an obligation, but like this inspiration to pay it forward in some way, to inspire other women the way that they were inspired by other women, and to, you know, put that momentum forward in terms of empowered conversation and empowered birth, and empowering you to feel like you can do and have and be like all the things that you want regarding your birth.
Yeah.
That's just so cool to continuously get that feedback. It's just, oh, it just makes me think about this ripple effect and this multiplication and magnification of this whole thing. And it really gives me goosebumps just to think about that.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. But what a powerful, cool thing. To have that experience the second time around, and to, you know, go through the motions of, I love and hate simultaneously how she says the whole, all the stressful information that we put on women during pregnancy. And I love it because she's mentioning it, she's talking about it, but I also hate it because like, it is a thing, it's a reality. Like, why do we, all the what ifs that come into play, and the need to visit every single what if, and then what it creates in terms of the mental well-being of mama, and then how that translates to how she's taking care of her body, and what that, how that's communicating to baby, you know, all of that is just.
Yeah, it's interesting. So the fact that that news was delivered about the bright spot on the heart, right, comes from a doctor. And I totally get the idea of like there's being a lot of stressful information that's shared. I mean, I know when I've gone to a doctor, they tend to err on the side of, let me tell you every possibility that this thing could be that you're coming here for. Like, right? When Maya was sick and we were wondering if it was a flu or something else, you know, they took a look at her and they're like, okay, well, it could be this, 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 and this. And I remember when I heard the word flu, like my heart sunk because the flu was particularly, I don't know, dangerous
this
past year. Yeah, so I was super scared, and I was having a conversation with our life coach. We were talking about something totally separate, and we're talking about like these groups that we're going to be forming. And I was wondering whether or not we tell the people all of the details about some of these groups before they get into it, right? Like all the potential things that could happen.
All the things that could happen. Because just for 2 seconds of context, people are like, what? Like it's a life group, like an accountability group essentially, and stuff comes up in it. And so you were wondering then, like, do we tell people like, yeah, some deep like breakdown life kind of stuff can come up in this sort of thing?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, do we give everybody, here's all the details, yeah, and go forth? And initially I was like, no, you know, I mean, I don't want to plant these seeds in people's minds.
True.
Of what could happen. And if you plant that seed into a fertile mind, maybe it grows. And what he was sharing with me is he's like, you know, you give people all that information so that they know up front. And then from there, they can make the most informed decision that they want. And there isn't an opportunity for people to say on the, you know, at the end of an experience, well, you never told me.
True. And so, sorry, I'm interrupting you. Go ahead.
So I used to feel like when it comes to the conversation around sharing things with mamas and families and giving all the information, like I, you know, from in a doctor's office, it's one thing, mm-hmm, right? You know, like that's what the doctor is there to do.
And they probably legally have to.
Absolutely. And so I'm not talking about,
if something was a possibility and it wasn't mentioned from day one, like that's a kind of cover their butt type of thing.
Yeah. And I'm never advocating a doctor withhold. I'm not right. necessarily advocating people withhold.
Right.
My bigger point for all of this is that, you know, you cannot always control what people want to tell you,
right,
all those details. And so what I got from my conversation with our life coach and kind of bringing the big point, you know, there you have the ability to choose how you want to respond and what you want to do with that information when people tell it to you. And, you know, I know for us, people were telling us all sorts of things when we were deciding to get pregnant about, is it a good timing to get pregnant? Is it responsible for us to get pregnant? And then when we did get pregnant and started to talk about home birth, you know, all the different things. And so it's like, you can't always control that stuff. And so what I liked about this email from Jess and kind of the bring everything full circle is, you know, you take in the information and you process it in the way that you want to process it. And, you know, you can have a particular type of relationship to information, even when it's not great information.
Sure.
Right? Like she was told that there's a bright spot, and bright spot means the potential Down syndrome. Like that's some scary stuff,
yeah,
to hear for a lot of parents. And then she could have gone down a certain path with that information, but it seems like she went on a different route and was able to feel empowered coming out of her research and all of that stuff. So that's, I know it's a long roundabout story I just told, but that's kind of what one of the cool things I got from the email.
No, I appreciate it. I mean, she found resources, she found,
yes,
support, she found community, and that's what was, you know, able to help her, support her in moving into that next level and, you know, moving on to what did serve her and what she did want to create and experience.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's awesome.
And I think that's a total power move, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
You take that, you take back your, you know, there's certain things you can control and certain things you can't.
Right.
And she very much operated within what she could control.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And also, I took 2 seconds to Google RCS, what I mentioned before, and kind of flopped on. I was like, ugh, don't know what that is. It's repeat C-section, repeat cesarean. So
okay,
that makes sense. So that's what she was looking at, because if that was a possibility for her, you know,
communities of people who've had a repeat C-section.
Like, yeah, that's what RCS stands for. All the abbreviations are really hard to keep up with.
Oh, there's a lot.
In life. But I'm so grateful to Jess for reaching out to us, sharing her experience and, you know, her gratitude for this community. And, you know, now I'm sure someone listening to what her email had to say is taking that, internalizing it in some way, and is going to,
yeah,
is gonna impact some part of their experience. And that is so freaking cool.
It's awesome. So awesome.
Yeah. So our next email is fun. And I like it because I think it has some nice connections with the last one. Anyway, this one is from Aaron, and I'm just going to tell you, it's kind of a spoiler for like the fun part of this email, but the subject, when I opened the email, I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to see this email.
Don't tell me.
Why?
Because you said it spoils.
Okay, so can I say it at the end then?
Yes.
Okay, fine. So here's the
email. Say the subject at the end.
Okay, so she is, she is referring to an episode of ours that had previously published around the time she sent this email.
Okay.
And listeners, for reference, that's episode 148. It was the part two of a home birth story with our friend Sam Peters. Okay. So she's referring to that one, and this is how the email starts. It said, "I was so tickled to hear Sam say blank," which I can't tell you. So
well, no, you could read the email.
I am reading the email, but she's following it out of the subject.
Okay.
No. I'm just going to keep going, and this is going to be fine. So, no, okay, I have to.
All right, read the subject, and then read the body.
People are like, what the hell, you guys? Okay, so I read this subject, and I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to open this email. It says in all caps, "I have an oxytocin tattoo."
Okay.
So she has a tattoo of the molecule of oxytocin.
That's cool.
Which Sam Peters and I talked about at the in episode 148 towards the end of it. She talked about kind of joking about wanting to get a tattoo of the oxytocin of molecule. Is that what it would be, a molecule, right? The way you like its structure. So. It's you know, back in chem class and you had to draw all the bonds and the things.
Oh, I got a C in chemistry. Stuff.
You got to say, great, awesome.
Hey, I've never claimed to be a chemist.
Okay, so she says, "I have an oxytocin tattoo." And then the email goes on to say, "I was so tickled to hear Sam say that. I actually got it before I was a mother, but I knew at the time that birth and motherhood was going to be an important part of my journey." And she says in parentheses, "and orgasm," obviously, because orgasm, because duh, because oxytocin. That's my, she didn't say that in the email. That's me. Then she goes on to say, "I'm attaching an old photo from a Samba performance, which is the best photo of the tattoo I can find, with a bonus view of my butt." Not like her bare butt, just like kind of some cheekiness. But yeah, so it's this cool picture and you can see it like right there. There's the oxytocin. She says, "I also really resonated with the second part of Brooke's story in episode 142. And the first part of her story, which I went back and listened to as well, she said, here's the short version of my story. She said, "I'm currently 25 weeks pregnant with my second child. My son is now 2 and will be 3 in late August. I planned a home birth with that pregnancy and was attended by a home birth midwife throughout. It was fantastic. Unfortunately, my water broke at 32 weeks and 5 days, literally the night before our hypno babies class was starting. We went to the hospital at 1 a.m. and I stayed there on bed rest until 34 weeks when I was induced. 34 weeks is the sweet spot for good outcomes while reducing chance of infection. Luckily, I never developed signs or infection, and my birthing time never started on its own. It was a super scary and sad time, as you can probably imagine. Unlike for Brooks, I think the hardest part for me about the days in the hospital was coming to terms with having a premature baby. Mm. But I also grieved the home birth experience, and I worried about staying fit enough to give birth after an extended bed rest. Happily, I advocated for gradual induction, and I had a hypnosis-like birth with little practice, but still some tracks that I got from our very sympathetic instructor. I was one of those who no one, even my midwife turned doula, believed was very far along because of how calm I was, until I told the nurse that I had to push and she checked me to find that I was fully dilated after 2.5 hours on a whiff of Pitocin. I started Pitocin at only 2 centimeters dilated, goes to show we don't birth by numbers. We had a very difficult postpartum experience. I can say a lot more about that, but briefly. It involved my husband's suicidal ideation and my broken wrist, and the fact that we had a preemie with a tongue tie that went undetected for 10 weeks. So I was pumping, triple feeding every 3 hours for almost 3 months. So we're hoping for a simple home birth this time around. I'm getting progesterone injections to prevent prematurity, although it's not clear what caused my water to break the first time around. Isn't it interesting how first-time mothers can have anxiety about the unknowns of birth, and then with subsequent births, it's often the knowns that can cause anxiety? Anyway, thanks for reading and thanks for your work. I love hearing birth-related stuff, but I have a hard time finding stories and content that are hypno-baby safe, so I really appreciate the positivity and realness of your podcasts." Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah. Thanks for bearing with me on that. I kind of like, sometimes it's hard to read for a long period of time.
Oh, I get it. What was this listener's email name again?
Aaron.
Yeah. Wow, that was amazing.
Yeah, just so much heart, so much authenticity, so much vulnerability, I feel like, in the sharing, from, you know, the realness of planning another birth after, you know, the first time around. And I think it's really cool how she mentions that, like, the unknowns are scary for the first one. And then afterwards, it's like what you know can happen, or maybe what you did happen that you don't want to repeat. Like, that's what can be there. And that's what can be, you know, the opportunity for you, the task at hand as far as healing that or working on that to move into another birth experience. I can totally relate to that. And we had no major complications. And yet there are absolutely little moments where when I think about getting pregnant again and giving birth again, I'm like, oh, but what if this happened? Or, like, you know, now hearing the tons of stories and all across the board that we listen to each week, and then we're talking to these mamas like, oh, I hope I don't, like, you know, wear on some of that, or like go down that road of thinking, what if that happens to me? What if that were to happen to me? Like, it's just, you know, working with your human nature of, like, seeing something, and then how do you not, like, incept that into your brain and into your, like, chemistry of your body and create that thing?
Yeah. I think it's a testament to people, to women. When you can experience something that you did not enjoy, that was extremely difficult, that had some strong and lasting ripple effects, you know, that lasted for a while, and then decide to do it again. You know, like, I think of people who have had incredibly traumatic relationships.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, you're with somebody and just stuff happens, and you walk away feeling just wrecked. Like, you've just been hit by, you know, freaking meteor. And, like, and then at some point in the future, you decide to do it again. You know, I admire that. Oh, and yeah. And I know in myself, I have those same sorts of stories and experiences. But I admire people when they're willing to get their butts kicked and go back in. Mm. And so for all the moms and dads and partners out there who've had birth experiences that didn't go the way that they wanted to. And, you know, if you really had your heart set on certain things happening and it went the total opposite, and, you know, you might consider your birth being a traumatic birth, or, you know, and that's how you might describe it. And then you say, okay, I want to step in and do this again. I mean, that's badass. That really is. Because you just have to contend with all of those what ifs. And I feel like they're amplified at that point because you understand what some of the what ifs could be. So I give total props to Aaron and all of the mamas out there and all of the dads and all of the partners and families and support groups who do that. Because it's not easy. It can't be easy.
Mm. Yeah, I just, incredible resiliency, incredible strength, I think faith and,
oh, yeah,
and, like, trust in yourself and in the moving more into that space of likelihood of things working out a certain way rather than not. And it's just,
You know, birth has this really amazing... like, you've talked about this, Sarah, this, like, in birth, you will go through this uncomfortable, physically uncomfortable experience to bring this baby out earthside. And, you know, you're happy when it's over because now you have this amazing thing and you've gone through the fire. And then you might want to do it all over again immediately. Like, I was editing an episode this weekend, getting ready for it to publish. And, the mama that we had on, after she gave birth, she's like, I could do this 1,000 more times. And you've talked about kind of how when you're holding baby and when all of those hormones are flowing through you and all those feelings and you're like, you're just in bliss, it totally wipes away all of the uncomfortable stuff, all the trauma that might have gone on, all of that stuff can just be wiped away when, wow, I've got my baby.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty incredible, I don't know, life experience that it can do that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely is. I'm just kind of sitting in, like, the resonance of all of what we've talked about. And just, again, the sharing, I am com- completely and continuously humbled by the sharing that we get from listeners as far as like their stories and into their lives and into their homes, and that we can be a part of this journey, you know, vicariously from our little space, you know, in Marietta, Georgia. Like, we can be with you in a way wherever you are around the world. And, you know, women even sharing that the show was played in the room when they were in labor and stuff like that. We've gotten those messages recently where I'm just like, what the heck?
And I think you and I do a great job of creating that space and building trust, because you and I are willing to share.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, we've talked about stuff on the show that,
oh boy,
things haven't been easy.
Yeah.
You know, and we've talked about just all sorts of stuff that has come up, because a lot of stuff has come up for sure.
Yeah.
And I think that goes a long way to just create that trust.
Yeah. So in terms of space, for those of you right now listening, send some love and vibes and that space to Erin.
Yeah.
She was talking about, you know, what she's playing for the second time around, what she'd like to experience. So
she's at
all that oxytocin.
She was at 25 weeks when she emailed you?
Yes. And that was a little bit ago. So probably a little further along than that. I can confirm that. But yeah.
Sending those vibes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All that oxytocin. If there are any other oxytocin tattoos out there, I would love to know about them and see them and all that great stuff, because that is so cool. It's just so funny how the world syncs stuff like that. And she sends that email, you know, after she had listened to Sam's episode. It's just, I love it. It's just, again, like, speaks to the community and how I feel like all these women know each other in a way without necessarily ever being in the same room together, that sort of thing.
I also love that Erin said that our show is Hypno Babies safe.
Safe, yeah, friendly.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I think I like to listen to that type of content.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to kind of be pulled down.
Right.
Even if it's a tough conversation.
Bring
it back to like a powerful place at the end. So cool. I love that feedback.
Totally. All right. Anything else on your end, my dude friend?
I don't know. I feel like after this one ends, we hit record again and go into some deep stuff. I'm feeling like deep.
Oh, you're feeling deep?
Yeah. I'm feeling like, okay, like, I can go there. let's take advantage of this window.
All right. Well, we'll see. Well, listener out there, you might be on the lookout for what the next episode is. Could be interesting.
But yeah, I got nothing else.
Cool. Thank you guys so much for being here and listening. Again, I want to do more of this kind of stuff, you know, addressing your stories, your questions, your feedback and topics and ideas. So please send them our way and, you know, be a part of this with us. Again, you can email those to hello@diahpodcast.com. You can connect with us on our website, diahpodcast.com. We have a great free ebook download there for you on all the things that made our home birth awesome. So you can learn a little bit about that. And you can connect with us on Instagram too, @DIAH podcast.
Yes.
All right.
I want to say thank you to Jess and Erin.
Yes. Once again, thank you, ladies. You are amazing. You are powerful. You are inspiring. And you're the reason we're here doing this thing.
Yeah.
It at home, if you will. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, we're out of here, guys. Thanks so much.
Peace.
Quick note about the Doing It at Home podcast. Matthew and I are not doctors or medical professionals, and nothing we say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. If you have medical or health-related questions, please take them to a trained professional. We're here simply to entertain you with stories and conversations about pregnancy, birth, and parenthood.
Does your father know you're listening to this podcast? Well, when you're done, why don't you stop by and check out a show that is 100% dad-approved? Dadages. Hi there, I'm Chad Higley. If you're looking for useful insights and practical advice you can actually apply to work, family, education, philanthropy, and just life in general, check out Dadages. That's Dadages, wherever you listen to your podcasts.